Quick time on your Friday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith coming to you live today at National RX in Farragut. We send things back to Marcus Young with the top five at five. Marcus, what do you got?
Thank you, Russell. At number one, we have Tennessee basketball on Sunday at 6 o'clock on the SEC Network as the Tennessee men's basketball team will take on Alcorn State.
Alma mater of Steve Air McNair coming to town. I can't recall if we've ever played McNair State in anything before McNair State, Alcorn State in anything, but I guess there's a first time for everything and should be hopefully a drama-free Sunday evening at Thompson Bowling Arena.
That would be preferred. At number two, we are heading into championship weekend, starting tonight with Utah taking on USC at 8 o'clock on Fox. We have Kansas State taking on TCU at 12 on ABC, LSU and Georgia on CBS at 4, UCF and Tulane at 4 on ABC, Clemson and North Carolina at 8 o'clock on ABC, and ending the weekend will be Michigan and Purdue at 8 on Fox.
Clemson a decent favorite against North Carolina in that ACC championship game tomorrow night. Tigers are 7.5-point favorite. We haven't really talked about that much. I guess it's just sort of a hopeful thing. A couple things fall Tennessee's way tomorrow, and they very well could be playing the winner of that one in the Orange Bowl. So keep an eye on that one tomorrow night if you're a Tennessee fan. I guess we'll know by then, by the time that game kicks off, if it's worth keeping an eye on or not.
Sure.
At number three, due to a report, it seems as Missouri football has rejected a potential rivalry rematch with Kansas in the 2022 Liberty Bowl. The Tigers have had the opportunity to reignite their longstanding rivalry with Kansas in the Liberty Bowl. But according to Brett McMurphy, the Jayhawks were not opposed to facing the Tigers, but Missouri didn't want to play them. So it seems like they're taking a textbook out of Ohio State's decision-making and saying...
Hey, wait, say that again. They weren't opposed to them, but they didn't want to?
Kansas
was not opposed to it.
But Missouri was not interested.
And they took a page out of the Ohio State playbook, not a textbook out of Ohio State.
Yeah, but did they go there last year, Mizzou?
No.
No, the Missouri and Kansas have not played since, I believe it was... would be the first time since 2011. They haven't played in a long time.
I'm asking questions because I'm just trying to give them the benefit of the doubt and say that they're not scared of playing Kansas, but everything that you guys are telling me leads me to believe that they're scared to play Kansas, which is quite pathetic.
I would completely agree. I mean, doesn't make a whole lot of sense that they would worry about who they're playing.
Do your fans not want to see that game? That was such a huge border rivalry game, and you've got a chance to reignite that thing in the Liberty Bowl. I would think that would be a pretty cool – it's not like they're going to go somewhere warm for a bowl game, so why not give your fans something unless their fans are scared too? I don't know, man. That just seems pathetic.
No, I agree with you completely. Number four, we get ready for the weekend as well, is the United States – men's national team will be taking on the Netherlands on Saturday. I believe it's Saturday morning at 10, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Christian Pulisic has been cleared to play in the United States men's national team, round of 16. Obviously, we're also going to be keeping an eye on Josh Sargent, who was also forced out of the game. Had a rough, I think it was his knee, the way that he kind of buckled, it looked like, when he was going for the ball. They're going to do some more testing, I believe, on Sargent to see where he is, but Christian is good to go.
Yeah, I would be stunned if Sargent is available tomorrow. So that's going to be, what are they going to do at striker? Could we see Gio Reyna finally unleashed and unveiled tomorrow? That's kind of what I would like to see up top there. But we'll see what Greg Berhalter decides to do. Huge moment for American soccer with a chance to move on to the final eight quarterfinals of the World Cup with a win tomorrow against the Netherlands.
And finally, at number five, didn't think this would be a headline, but Drew Brees was not struck by lightning.
I'll be honest. When I when when you guys first saw the video this morning, like that was kind of shocking. I mean, it quickly became apparent what was going on there, but it's like, wait a minute. Like, I hope Drew Brees isn't dead.
I still haven't seen it.
So the video, I watched it earlier because I was seeing the news report about it. And what happened was they were setting up, or made it look like they were setting up for a commercial for who he's been working with, which is PointsBet Sportsbook, and where it looked like they were doing a get ready for a video. And then all of a sudden you see like lightning hit, the camera shake, and it's kind of a freak out kind of moment. The part of the issue that made it more like curious for some people was PointsBet tweeted out, "We are aware of the media coverage regarding PointsBet brand ambassador Drew Brees. We are in communication with Brees' team and will continue to monitor the events throughout the coming hours. At this stage, we're not making further comments." And then, of course, later Brees finally tweeted out that he's fine. It was clear.
So it was a big publicity stunt by the sports book.
Yeah, so they apparently the whole idea was because they've got a new setting or a new thing on their website, like with lightning type bets or something like that.
It's like lightning bet. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was some people were concerned.
What do you think, Big Bear? Was that a cheap trick played by this new fledgling sportsbook company?
Ah, I don't have a problem with it.
Fooled a lot of people.
Darren Rovell specifically.
What if you're like a good friend of Drew Brees or somebody that was on that set or something and you see that?
Like his ma?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I saw this morning about it was some reporter, she had tweeted it and said, like, Drew Brees appears to be struck by lightning. So, like, that's the first I saw. Like, my first reaction was, oh, my God, like, that looks pretty rough. And then read some of the responses, and people were saying it's a work or a whatever, and figured that's what it was. But it's kind of a... It's kind of a bold thing, like basically faking a guy's death to get a couple of Twitter followers or new people to sign up for your sports book.
I just assume that it would be a much bigger, it wouldn't just be this one Twitter account.
You mentioned Darren Rovell, Bear. That was a fun interaction between him and Big Cat. For a while, trending was hashtag Rovell got duped. All because of this Drew Brees situation. So that was a fun Twitter moment today.
Is Rovell the most trollable Twitter sports media personality out there?
Ah, man, that's an elite group. I mean, you got Brando, Rovell, Mount Rushmore of trollable.
That's a good question, isn't it?
Guys that take themselves way too seriously.
Yeah, I feel like there's some other ones out there that are missing.
Those two are at the top of my list.
Well, with Wolken, you just never know what's going to happen because, like, you say anything, he's just going to block you immediately. So it's kind of hard to troll him.
I don't think he's trollable, but he's just a... I can't say what he is here at National RX. He's just a dork. King of the dorks.
Vandy boy. Quintessential Vandy boy right there.
Thank you, Marcus. Top 5 at 5 brought to you this afternoon by National RX, where we are for another hour. Your one-stop shop for COVID boosters and flu shots this year. The flu's nasty, man. Stay healthy and protect yourself and your friends and family by staying on top of your vaccinations here at National RX. Visit them at 11134 Kingston Pike, Farragut, right next to Wendy's. You can shop online at nationalrx.com. Locally owned and operated, veteran owned and operated. We are so fortunate to have National RX, to be involved with them here, their support of the show. We wouldn't be here if not for their support all these years. And great thing about it is, maybe you're blessed. Maybe you don't have to take a prescription medication every day. But everybody will need something over the counter. Maybe it's a new toothbrush. Maybe it's another bottle of aspirin, some vitamins, dental floss, whatever. You can come pick that up here. Be sure to let them know you heard us talking about it on the drive on Fan Run Radio. Show a little love to National RX this winter. We'll go open lines. Well, not the rest of the way here. We are going to visit with Trey coming up in just a minute. But if you want to take a shot right now, is a great opportunity. 865-546-8200. Do we still have Rex? No, we don't have Rex. All right, so we do have all lines open for the first time this afternoon. If you want to jump in, go ahead, 546-8200. Haynes King has entered the transfer portal from Texas A&M. One-time Jim Chaney slash Tennessee target, Haynes King, who chose the Aggies over the Volunteers years ago. Did not work out for him down there. He was not good.
Yeah, Big Jim wanted him bad, didn't he?
He did.
Brush Cheeto dust off his fingers and he's looking at that film. So that's a guy I want.
Cheeto dust off the fingers?
Yeah. Big Jim Cheetos.
What?
Big Jim Chaney. Guy's never met a snack he didn't want to eat.
This is what we're doing now?
I mean, yeah.
Going in on Jim Chaney? The guy's got a couple of extra pounds, Bear. I mean, personal appearance.
Couple
is not
extra
show fodder.
Pounds.
How many times do I have to tell you?
Couple extra pounds.
He's trying.
Trying to what? Put the all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet out of business when he rolls in?
Wow. Didn't see Jim Chaney catching a stray from Bear. That wasn't even a stray. Like, he caught the stray. I have offered Bear a chance to kind of walk it back, offer an apology or something. Says, to heck with that. I'm just going to break out the AR-15 and take dead aim. Just leaving Chaney's carcass there, bullet riddled in the middle of the street. Unbelievable.
Sorry, Russ. You know, I don't apologize.
High school state championship games coming up tonight. Congratulations to Alcoa. They win their 8th consecutive gold ball, the Blue Cross Bowl. West High School getting set to take on Page here in less than 2 hours now. Game is on, people have asked, it's on my VLT2, I believe, here in East Tennessee is where you can watch those games. Mike Keith on the call, the voice of the Titans. It's big time. That is big time. And then Anderson County will play Pearl Cone tomorrow for their potential first state championship. Had a caller call in and ask if we could talk again about what Tennessee could do for a better bowl game. Nothing. There's nothing we don't play. Nothing we can do. You can hope. You can hope that TCU and or USC lose, but now there's some talk about, particularly with TCU, that they would get in even with a loss. I think USC would be done. Well, they've only got one loss. I don't know. I suppose a lot of it is style points, right? I mean, if TCU loses a close one, it was like 35-34 or something like that, I could see them still getting in, maybe as that fourth seed.
I still don't think that's really fair to the four teams that are in right now that have to play these championship games. I really don't. It's just one more facet of this just utter stupidity that is the system that we have in place right now.
Well, what if Michigan loses to Purdue? You're going to keep them out? You're going to say they deserve to be in anyway?
No, I mean, these championship games, they've always been a money grab. I just think it's just kind of ludicrous. Mike Tyson.
I don't know, man. People like the championship games. I feel like people love the championship, man. I mean, you can get rid of the championship game. First of all, you can't. But second of all, I don't want to. I like the championship games. You're coming out anti-championship game?
Not anti-championship game. I just don't think it should affect anything with the playoffs.
So if Purdue beats Michigan, you think Michigan should go in? I've got you boxed in here.
No, you don't. I was coughing. Yeah, I think they should go on in.
If you lose to Purdue, they're 8-4. Can't lose to Purdue and then go into the college football playoff. I'm sorry. That's a worse loss than us losing to South Carolina.
Sure you can. That's not a worse loss than us losing to South Carolina either.
Can't lose.
They're both 8-4. Who do you think wins in a game between South Carolina and Purdue? Thank you.
I don't know. I haven't seen Purdue enough.
You haven't seen Purdue. What do you have to see? It's Purdue. South Carolina
beat us last year.
Rattler throw for about 500 yards on them.
You're about half crazy, dude. Not even half. You're just talking out your rear end now.
Marcus, do you think Purdue?
Oh, let's go to completely unbiased Marcus to settle this one between me and
who
you.
Who do you want to go to? I mean, you're just throwing out stuff.
I don't know. We can go to your lackey that simps for you all the time. Go ahead, Marcus. Agree with Russ.
I feel like that was a little uncalled for, but I mean, it's Purdue. We talk about the Big Ten all the time. Like, they don't really play anybody. So if you're 8-4 in the Big Ten, like, you've lost to, I'm sure they lost to a couple of the bigger teams, like Penn State, maybe Ohio State. But other than that,
who'd they beat in their bowl game last year, boys?
That was last year against a depleted Tennessee team that went 7-5. Man, it's not like they played us this year. Stop.
Michigan.
That was a depleted Purdue team last year. They were down their two best players.
Michigan ain't losing to Purdue.
Stop. This team, you're talking about a Purdue team that lost to Iowa 24-3, bro. You're talking about a Purdue team that lost to Wisconsin, who was not a good Wisconsin team this year, 35-24. They lost to Syracuse. They lost to Penn State. They beat FAU by 2. By 2.
Who did South Carolina lose to this year, Russ?
Well, they had a terrible beginning of the year, but I'm talking like right now. We're talking about this weekend. Like, if South Carolina, I can't believe we're having this conversation, by the way, but here we are. Since you insist, we're talking about South Carolina. Like, if they're playing next this weekend, tomorrow on a neutral field, you're going to sit here and tell me that Purdue is going to beat South Carolina?
I'm not telling you that. I said it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, what are you saying? You're doing all these vague takes.
All I'm saying is that I don't think the champion this weekend should affect the playoffs at all.
I mean, you're like one of the – you want to go back to the 1930s when we named the national championship before the bowl games were played.
No.
Like, these games are happening. We're supposed to just ignore that they happened? How can you not – when you have more data coming in, how can you just ignore that?
Well, because it's unfair that Ohio State, by getting their eyes pounded shut last week by Michigan, gets to sit at home and gets slip into the playoffs if Michigan gets tripped up by Purdue. You don't see a problem with that?
No, they should have won the game. They had a chance to beat Michigan at home.
Do you think Ohio State should just slide right in there in front of Michigan?
If Michigan loses to Purdue
1 week after pounding Ohio State's eyes shut.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how far they should drop, but it matters. I'm not just going to ignore it. I mean, you could make these same arguments against Tennessee moving up. We lost to South Carolina, man. Like, you take your medicine. The games matter. And, like, I don't see Michigan this week complaining about having to go play this game. I don't see TCU folks complaining about having to go play. You get a chance to go play for the conference championship, man. It matters. Let's get Trey Wallace of OutKick in here when we continue the drive live this afternoon at National RX as the sun begins to descend in West Knoxville. Stay with us. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The drive.
Hey, Big Orange Country.
behind in the 5 o'clock hour. Means Trey Wallace is coming in late. Good afternoon, Trey. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. It's been a crazy day since this morning when I was interviewed by police officers. It's just been a long day, Russell.
Interviewed by police officers? What are you, the heart of the, are you hanging out with Antonio Brown or something?
Well, you know, I came here to Atlanta, you know, to cover the SEC title game, and around 10:45 this morning, there was gunshots in my hotel room on my floor. So, a little bit of a crazy morning to start the SEC title weekend off.
What are you doing? Staying at like the downtown Econo Lodge or something? I mean, Clay can't spring for good accommodations. What are you doing?
I mean, come on, man. You know that I don't roll like that usually, but no, was not expecting that this morning. So, I kind of got the day off to a weird start, and then just been, I don't know, talking with the LSU fans that are in town, just getting absolutely sloshed before tomorrow. So, yeah, it's been an interesting day, to say the least, brother.
Well, that's on brand, the LSU part of it anyway. I guess you being caught up in the middle of some sort of gangland shooting is to be expected as well. But Trey Wallace of OutKick with us this afternoon on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. And Trey, how about, you know, this has kind of gone quiet under the radar, at least in my world, because we're so focused on the Tennessee aspect of things and where everything's headed with Josh Heupel and his program. But you got to take your hat off, I guess, to Beauregard getting LSU to the SEC championship game in his first season in that division. After Alabama had lost in the national championship, we had all just sort of thought they would be on a mission and at the very least would win that division, if not going back to the playoff. But old Beauregard Kelly getting his team to Atlanta in year one. How about that?
Isn't that kind of wild? I mean, it's been Tennessee and LSU this year, besides Georgia. I mean, Georgia, you know, whatever, obvious. But it's been Tennessee and LSU this year that have been the story out of the Southeastern Conference. And, you know, Brian Kelly, you know, somebody asked me this question earlier today. They were like, you know, do you see the rebuild at LSU the same way as what Josh Heupel did? I was like, no, absolutely not. LSU did not have the turnover that Josh Heupel and Tennessee did this year and over the last year as well. It's a completely different story, but the offenses kind of feel like the same in a sense. You know, with Jaden Daniels, what he's able to do, and what Hendon Hooker was able to do this year, it took Jaden Daniels a little bit longer to kind of get going compared to Hendon, who had a year already underneath the belt of Josh Heupel. But, you know, it is kind of surprising that LSU is sitting here. I mean, they backdoored their way in. If LSU wouldn't have if Alabama kind of wouldn't have screwed that up, you know, and lost that game the way that they did, then Alabama would be here. But you got to give credit to LSU, man, and what they have done. It's been very, very entertaining, to say the least. And who would have thought that? Like, you know, I was thinking about it. I was like, a month and a half ago, I was sitting in Baton Rouge on the sideline watching Tennessee just destroy this LSU team. And then a month and a half later, LSU's playing for an SEC championship. And even with the loss last week, like, it doesn't matter. I mean, you're still playing. You're not playing for a playoff spot, but you're still playing for an SEC championship. So I give credit to old Beauregard down there in Baton Rouge. He's done a good job getting that program back going.
Has Beauregard spoken this week about what a thrill it must be for him to come to Atlanta, given his love of all things Southern and Gone with the Wind, I'm sure, is his favorite movie. Everything. Has he taken any shots at Tecumseh Sherman or anything like that this week?
Well, I think right when he landed in Atlanta 2 hours ago, he went and got chicken and waffles. Nice. I think that's a positive. You know, probably shrimp and grits tonight, I'd imagine, for dinner. Going to stand up and give a speech to his family. It's you know, he's enjoying life in Atlanta, you know, getting the bright side of it. So hopefully his morning tomorrow goes a bit better than I did. But yeah, man, it's you know, is crazy as it sounds, you know, LSU doing good and Texas A&M just taking a backslide. That's the craziest part of the SEC West this year, is how far A&M fell and then what LSU did. Like that, you know, and we just saw the news about Haynes King entering the transfer portal. I mean, think about that. Haynes King entered the season as a starter, and now he's gone. Now he's entering the portal, he's gone. So you look at the SEC West, man, what a cluster this year.
Trey Wallace of Outkick with us this afternoon on the show. Trey, how do you think this all shakes out? Do you think that things, I mean, it's not all going to go chalk. I think UGA, Georgia and Michigan are looking good. TCU and USC, I just don't think both of those teams are going to get it done. I think one of those teams loses. Are you of the school of thought that those teams are locked in, or do you think Ohio State sneaks back into this thing if one of those teams loses and opens up the door for Tennessee to go to the Orange Bowl?
Well, see, I predicted, I had a column come out this morning, and I predicted that Kansas State was going to beat TCU tomorrow.
Okay.
I think Kansas State just beats TCU. I think TCU's luck kind of runs out, but I say that to say this, like, I think they would only drop to 4. So tonight matters. Tonight is a very, very big game for the argument, for the folks that want to make an argument about Alabama or Ohio State, which I think it's only going to be Ohio State, but I'm just saying Alabama's hanging around there, whatever. If you are a Tennessee fan, you are rooting for USC to lose tonight, which would propel Ohio State into the 4 spot, and then that would put Tennessee in the Orange Bowl and get them out of that horrible Cotton Bowl matchup with UCF or Tulane. No offense to either one of those teams, but Tennessee does not, and they have made that point very clear this week, by the way, to bowl officials. They don't want to go to the Cotton Bowl. They want to be in the Sugar, or they want to be in the Orange Bowl. So if you're a Tennessee fan, you better root for Cameron Rising tonight, and see if, you know, if they can drop out and lose now. I'm very interested to see what happens with TCU, Russ, if they lose tomorrow, because what would the matchups be in the Final Four? Because I don't see Michigan losing to Purdue. I just don't, even though Aiden O'Connell, you know, torched Tennessee in the bowl game last year. So that's where it gets interesting, right? So, like, how does this thing play out? Because it's not just the Final Four that we're talking about here. It's the other games that matter. I mean, look, I spoke with folks down in Alabama. Like, they're not very excited about going to the Sugar Bowl, you know. But Tennessee fans, they sell 35,000 tickets to New Orleans, or probably 35,000 tickets to Miami if they made it to that game. So there's a lot on the line for these bowl games tonight and tomorrow, and not just the CFP Final Four. So, you know, I don't know, brother. I think we see some kind of chaos. I think, you know, and whether that's the TCU loss or USC losing tonight to Utah, something's going to happen in the next 24 hours that is going to create some kind of a mess that they're going to have to figure out.
Trey, what do you think about Tennessee and just what's going on off the field right now? You've got the recruiting thing going on. You've got the portal. Seems like guys going in the portal, and you know that behind the scenes they're looking at who's in the portal, who could go into the portal. Do you think that we see a lot of roster movement this month from Josh Heupel, both with players leaving and maybe players committing to come to Tennessee?
You know, they were holding exit interviews this week, just like most schools were around the country, and then the coaching staff gets on the road and goes out recruiting tonight, this weekend, catching up on championship games and whatnot around the country in high school football. I expect some more roster movement from Tennessee. You know, the portal technically doesn't open until Monday. And there's 45 days, guys. So, like, if somebody doesn't go in on Monday, that doesn't mean when they finish, like somebody mentioned this to me. They said, okay, well, these players are going to go home after their exams. They're going to get a couple days off, you know, before they have to come back and practice and get back in the rhythm, whatever. So that gives them time to go home, speak with family, figure out what they'd like to do, some options that are maybe out there. A lot of these phone calls are happening without players having hit the portal. That's just how it is right now, these collectives. They're just calling players and seeing if they're interested in going to a different school. It's pretty wild. I'm currently writing a story about that that should come out on Monday. But it's wild how much these collectives are just going after players that haven't declared for the portal yet, that might not even have any intention of getting in. So I think you're going to see movement out of Tennessee. I think you're going to see a few more players enter the transfer portal. Tennessee is going to be active. There are key spots that they need to fill next year, wide receiver being one of them. I would say they need to go out and find themselves a monster on the defensive line. I think that's a given. I think your linebacking situation needs to be sorted out a little bit further. You can't roll into next year, you know, with Aaron Beasley and Juwan Mitchell as your starting linebackers. Even though Aaron Beasley has done really well, I think Juwan Mitchell just had some problems getting back going. They need to shore up that spot and the safety position. So Tennessee has their key components of what they need. They've got the money to spend on these players, and there's going to be money spent. Okay, like Dan Mullen came on my podcast, and I'm not tooting my own horn when I say that. I'm just letting you know. And he said this, it was funny. He said, boosters are writing a whole bunch of checks this week to keep current players on rosters. And that stood out to me. You know, how much negotiating is a player doing right now with the collective at Tennessee, the Spire, the ball club, or whatever it is, Spire, or how much are they doing that with a, you know, with the head coach, you know, with Josh Heupel, you know? And like Dan Mullen said, I mean, it's going on. You got players going in there, and they're going to be talking about, okay, well, you know, this is what I did for you this year at the school. You know, what are we doing NIL-wise to keep me here? So I just think you're going to see some movement. I'm very interested in the Alex Golas situation with Cincinnati, because
Golas, does he get an interview there?
Yes. Golas had one foot out the door last year, was going to go to Ole Miss. Like, that was going to happen. Tennessee came back and they offered him a bunch of money to stay. Not because, you know, Golas wanted to leave Heupel or anything like that, but Golas was going to go call some plays, you know, in Oxford. So that was pretty close to happening. If he can get a head coaching job somewhere like Cincinnati, I don't know. I haven't spoken with anybody in the last 4 or 5 hours about, you know, Brian Hartline and his intentions. It kind of seems like with his social media activity that he might be staying there at Ohio State, but man, it's going to be interesting over the next week or so once we get some of these jobs filled up.
Trey, do the Americans go through at the World Cup tomorrow against Netherlands?
Boys, I'm so nervous. I'm nervous. The game. I'm glad the game's at 10:00, so I can watch that before, you know, all the other football games start and work begins. Netherlands plays a weird way. I don't know how to explain it. They don't attack. I've watched two of their games in the World Cup, and it feels like they don't attack as much. If the USA could come out and play like they did in the first half in the most recent game and attack on offense, and look, I know that the other team was hanging back and playing conservative, looking for the draw. But, you know, if Pulisic can go, if we can get something out of Musa, I mean, I'm telling you, these boys can win tomorrow, man. I think they can make it to the Elite Eight. Bring it on. Go America. These guys do not care. I mean, Christian literally put his sack on the line for America. So,
all right, Trey. Okay. Thank you. We appreciate you.
That wasn't meant to be a wrong word.
Yeah, it's dinner time, man. People are eating. listening to this. Trey, we appreciate you, my friend. I don't know what to tell you. Put on a flak jacket or something before you go to bed tonight, and stay safe out there. Enjoy the championship game tomorrow.
Yeah, guys, on the way out, hey, Texas A&M cornerback, five-star, former five-star Denver Harris has now entered the transfer portal. So the exodus continues in College Station.
Do you think – I'll put you on – all right, you can
–
not going to hold you to this.
Okay.
Just yes or no. Is Joe Milton QB1 for Tennessee next year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean – but that's not saying a lot, though, because we're predicting Nico's just going to come in and over the winter and put on 25 pounds and be the starting quarterback for Tennessee next season. Like that's a lot of ifs.
All you know, I'm saying let's just say you go to the Orange, wherever you go for the bowl, and Milton looks like he did last week, and like he did in his first two games starting last year. That's not filling me with a lot of confidence if I'm Josh Heupel going into the offseason. I got to see something from him in this bowl game, Trey. And if I don't, if he's just who I think he is at this point, which is a big guy with a big arm, is just inaccurate, doesn't know where it's going, then I got to go find another quarterback, whether it's Nico or somebody in the portal, somebody else. You got to go do what you got to do, man.
Well, it's also, too, you got to keep Taven Jackson around. I think that's kind of big. He's had a full season, you know, underneath this system. So keeping Taven Jackson around, I think, is key as well, him coming off the shoulder injury. So, you know, I just think as of right now, as we stand here right now, you know, looking at the quarterback situation, I think Joe Milton's got the roll-up on it, but who's going to transfer into Tennessee as a quarterback? Like, that's the tough part. So I don't know, guys. We'll find out here soon, but I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for always having me, and go America. Love you, boys.
Guys, see Trey. Love you too, brother. Go America. That's not how it goes. What are we supposed to say, Bear? Go USA? Maybe it is go America. That just doesn't sound right. Rolling off the tongue. Trey Wallace, Outkick. Big Orange Phillies phone lines. We get set to wrap things up. One more segment. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, 546-8200. We're back to wrap things up right after this.
The Drive.
Hey, folks. Are you tired of long waits and outrage?
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues, wrapping up on a Friday afternoon edition of the show. One more segment here if you want to jump in. 865-546-8200. Trey Wallace of Outkick. Bear, what did you learn?
He had some kind of Trey Wallace, like, encounter this morning. I couldn't really understand it.
That just sounds like there was a shooting at his hotel. And maybe he gave a witness statement.
How's he always get caught up in that stuff?
Snitches get stitches, Trey.
I tried to tell him that.
They're shooting. There's Trey talking to the cops. I don't know if that was the best move. I kid. I always say help, support, assist law enforcement however you can. You did the right thing, Trey. We love you.
Wrapping like up. Whitehead. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, wrapping up. What do we got about Whitehead?
It looks like it's official now. He tweeted out about 20 minutes ago. He's entering the transfer portal.
It's a final
3 years of eligibility.
What will be your lasting memory of Lenith Whitehead at Tennessee?
That he flashed and looked like he was going to be great in that Missouri game until he just lost track of where he was on the field and got blasted and really never did anything after that.
I was wondering if he would have been a better fit at linebacker for Tennessee.
Maybe.
He moves on.
I mean, our best running back was our best linebacker.
True. Think Banks makes it in the NFL?
Yeah, I think he'll definitely. I mean, he likes to hit. Plays with an edge. So.
Talent was never going to
go out now. No.
You just want. I mean, NFL team's not going to. Oh, you can't make it to practice today? Okay, well, don't bother coming to practice tomorrow either then.
Yeah, I mean, it's a job.
Not a lot of patience. At least for players that, is the thing. You get more patience in college the better a player you are. It sounded like they were very patient with him because he was a good player for this team. I don't think he's mm-hmm. getting third or fourth rounder or higher. I think he's going to be a guy who's going to be very needs to get in the right spot, fortunate to be in the league if he's there, and you got to walk the straight and narrow, man. They're not going to hold your hand.
Yeah, I mean, he could have, you know, that deal with whatever went down the South Carolina week. I mean, that's the kind of thing the NFL will heavily, I mean, they'll want to know exactly what happened. That could definitely not could. I mean, that definitely damages his draft stock, wouldn't you think?
Yeah,
we always go back to it.
He's going to have to answer questions about it for sure.
Those people are very risk averse. Most people that are, when you're talking about business people that are investing millions of dollars in somebody, they're very risk averse usually. If they're successful in the NFL, incredibly successful. So that being said, well, I hope he comes back.
Yeah, I mean, I just think about the Titans and, like, you know, all their linebackers through the year, or at least the past couple of years, the good ones have all seemed like real conscientious off the field type dudes.
Yeah.
Guys who are all about football and very little else.
I mean, could you see Vrabes? You know, him pulling the stunt with somebody like Vrabel or really any of these NFL coaches?
No.
I'd just send you to the house.
Not keep his job anyway. Let's go ahead and get Roger in here as we get set to wrap up the festivities tonight. What's up, Rog?
On the whole lot, Russ. I'm doing good. Doing fine. How about you all? How y'all doing tonight?
Doing well, thank you.
Well, good. Good to talk to y'all. I just wanted to ask you, Russ, from Bear, and get. I'm going to ask you, I'm talk to you, Wednesday. Thanksgiving. Did y'all have a happy Thanksgiving too? Thursday, a week ago.
Oh yeah, fantastic. How about you?
Well, real good. Yeah, good. Thank you, though. Thank you for that. Thanks. And want to ask you, Russ, from Bear, about the game tomorrow. You're playing tomorrow. I just want to ask you first. You think LSU can compete with Georgia? I know Georgia's division is real good, but LSU playing well too. That's why I asked you. You think that LSU can stay with Georgia at all? Compete with them at all? And, you know what I'm saying? Be in the game with them at all? You think it? No. What's that?
I think most of it is just like how locked in and focused is Georgia. If they come out there rip roaring, ready to go, I don't think it bodes well for LSU. But if they come out like they have a couple of times this year against lesser opponents and are just kind of like, well, we're already in the playoff and it's really about the national championship and they're not giving full effort, then yeah, I could see LSU hanging around. My gut is Georgia comes out there and handles business. I don't think it's going to be like a 50-point beatdown or anything, but if you're asking for my score prediction, and you're not, but I'm going to give it to you anyway, I say Georgia wins that game. I'll say Bulldogs 31-14.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. How about you, Bear? How you think you can compete with Rodal at all tomorrow?
Man, it's going to be really hard. That Georgia defense is they're a rough row to hoe. Those guys are really, really good. Jaden Daniels, you know, banged up his ankle against A&M. So, I mean, I guess they could. Stranger things have happened, but I'm with Russ. I kind of doubt it.
I got you. And Russell, just want to ask you, what have to happen from Tennessee to get to the Orange Bowl? I heard that you got some offense. I just want to ask you, can you tell me that offense again? Or what has got what have to happen from Tennessee to get to the Orange Bowl? What has to lose, has to win? It's hard to remember all that stuff. So can you tell me again what has to happen from Tennessee to get into the Orange Bowl again? Orange Bowl.
I think the easiest way to get there would be tonight, would be for USC to lose decisively to Utah, to see Utah beat them by more than one score. I think that would give you a really good chance. Aside from that, I think it would take TCU getting beaten decisively by Kansas State tomorrow. If Kansas State wins that game by two scores or more, I think you could see TCU fall out of it. But if TCU wins or loses by one score, I think that they probably would not fall any more than to fourth. So okay. I think the best chance is tonight. If USC were to get slapped around by Utah, I could see them falling out, Ohio State moving in to that fourth spot, and then it would be Tennessee to the Orange Bowl. So, yeah. Is that what you think, Bear?
That's gonna happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Yeah.
All right, Rog. Anything else, my man?
Yeah. I hope it can happen. You talk good team. You talking capable win, so I hope they can win tonight. And you think it's possible? Tell me, you think it's possible? It can happen.
Maybe
it can happen.
About West tonight or Utah?
No. We talking about Tennessee.
I was getting excited about West. Rog, we got to run, man. Appreciate the phone call. Have yourself a great weekend. I don't really care what happens Utah, quite frankly. I guess I hope they win, but this is about the Rebels tonight, baby. Got a state championship to win.
In 1 hour.
Thank you, Bear. Thank you, Marcus Young. Appreciate you guys. Have a great weekend. We'll do it again Monday, 3 to 6 here on The Drive. Overtime coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Matlock Tire, East Tennessee's number one tire service and